the special edition of Cedefop Skillset and Match podcast from the Frida Iapa screening room in the port of Thessaloniki. This is where the heart of the 26th Thessaloniki International Documentary Festival beats, and where we'll discuss young people's skilling and career prospects in the current fast-evolving education and labor market environment. The room is full of young learners, eager to hear what our guests have to say. With me to look for answers are Cedefop Executive Director Jürgen Zibel, next to me, Jordana Gasparinho from Portugal, who studies filmmaking and is one of this year's winners of the Cedefop Video Award, the director of her vocational school, Nuno Ribeiro, Cedefop expert, Anastasia Pouliou, and the director of the second vocational school of Thessaloniki, Dipa, Angeliki Filipidou. Let me start with Jordana, as you and your teammates just received the award for your video, which presented the story of a young woman who left school at 18 and went back 6 years later to follow her passion and become a filmmaker. This is your story, Jordana. So tell us why you didn't continue your studies in the first place and what inspired you to go back.
Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. So I didn't continue my studies because, first and foremost, I think we should be doing things in our life with a meaning. When I finished studies, I did not have a meaning and I felt a bit lost. And I think a lot of people my age here today feel that as well. You're not alone. So after 6 years, I thought, what does it make me happy every day? And filming and taking pictures and doing these sort of things is what makes me happy. So I thought it's better to risk what makes you happy because you only live once. So do what you want to do with your life and don't be afraid, risk, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's very inspiring to hear, Jordana. And Jürgen, it is encouraging to hear such stories, of course. But vocational education and training provides many such examples. Why would you urge a young learner to follow this path?
Well, I think Jordana gave an excellent example. She mentioned, you know, follow your passion. And I think that's maybe the best piece of advice you can give to any young person to try and find their vocation. And so you could say follow your passion or even follow your vocation. And that's actually where we come in as Cedefop, because vocational education and training indeed offers many, many opportunities that lead to a fulfilling and exciting life. And just to quote examples, not only in the creative industries, but also, for instance, in green and digital, which are sectors that are expanding and are looking constantly looking for people. So green and digital is widely seen as sought after skill sets in Europe, and we also aspire within Europe to build our economies and our societies around these themes to become sustainable and to become modern and competitive. And the European Union, in fact, places a lot of importance on people getting the right skills for a bright professional future. That's why it came up with this idea of the European Year of Skills. And we are already actually fast approaching the end of this year. It's not a calendar year. It went from May to May. So there's one and a half more months to go. And we hope that this creates a lot of awareness in Europe for vocational pathways as a possible fulfilling way into an adult life. And I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here because you all attend vocational schools. So you have taken the right decisions, and we have to just convince more people to follow suit. Skills are one of Cedefop's main strands of work. In fact, we are the European Union agency for skills, and thus for us, every year is kind of a year of skills. And vocational education and training is really a good option for young people, also for older ones, to get the skills that they need and those that their future employers need across a very broad spectrum of professions.
Thank you so much, Jürgen. Now let's see what the vocational education and training practitioners think. And we have two of them here with us. Nuno, you are the director of the Escola de Tecnologias Inovação e Criação do Algarve in Portugal, where our award winners study. So tell us briefly what skills your school provides and why it's a good option for young people.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for your kindness, for your hospitality. We are very excited to be here. About our school born in Lisbon 33 years ago. After 20 years in Lisbon, we go to Algarve. We started in Algarve at 14 years ago. What is our school? Our school, it's a technical school. And the idea, it's simple. Simple as that. Learning by doing. We don't have teachers. We have professional to do classes. We don't have students. We have future colleagues. And a very strong bet in the equipment. Our areas are in the creative industry, sound, video gaming, video, photography, design, and web and communication. So we are in the era of content, and we provide all the materials, all the equipment, all the good family that we have in our school to provide our students and good education, good skills to put in practice in the field, in the companies. Simple as that.
You're training future professionals, of course. That's the idea. And Angeliki, you are also a vocational school director here in Thessaloniki. What is it that attracts young learners to your school?
Greetings from me as well. I'm teacher and also I'm the principal of the second vocational school of Thessaloniki, which depends in public employment service. Our school is one of the 50 schools all over Greece that operates DIPA and is the biggest school. We have about 500 students from 15 until 29. And we have 10 specializations and all students have an apprenticeship. So from my experience from many, many years in vocational schools, I can see three important elements. One element is that the young learners, the young students in our school can find the apprenticeship system. What's this? It's a vocational system that combines theory and praxis. The half of the day, the students are in school, have theoretical and practical lessons, and the other half of the day, they are in real workplaces. The other important element is that this apprenticeship is paid. Our students are paid with 75% of a basic salary, and of course they are fully insured. Also, the school offers an allowance for accommodation and food for the young learners who are not from Thessaloniki. Another and the third important element is that, especially the last years, we can see that in our schools come students with higher education. And this number of this student is increasing. And why? What's happening this? I think the answer is the dual system. They can find the real work, they can have a practical experience, and it's easier after they graduate to find a place. I think this is the most important thing, the most important key for a young learner to go with safety in the labor market. I would like to give you one example. This year, this school year, we have a student. She has a master's degree. She's doing the doctorate, and she's standing with us in specialty textile and clothing. Her apprenticeship is in a company with priestly vestments. She combines the theory because she studied theology, and she combines the previous higher education with this technical vocational study.
That's very important. These are what you've both described are indeed very attractive options mm-hmm. for young people. And we have with us also a former teacher who is now a SEDEFOP expert specializing in micro-credentials. Anastasia, your area is also very useful to young people. Can you tell us in simple words what micro-credentials mean? Because the term might sound a bit scientific, though it's not. And how can they perhaps be combined with other learning pathways, such as the vocational, as we've just said?
Thank you very much, Rosie. And indeed, being a teacher is a great pleasure to see all these young people gathered in this room. Micro-credentials can sound as a weird scientific term, but it's not. And I like very much using metaphors. I guess we all like eating nice little things, getting real snacks, let's say. So I think that micro-credentials can be considered as small learning bites, tastes of learning. Because in essence, when you try to learn different things in your life, you're attending a formal course in order to acquire a diploma, well, we realize that these specific conditions might not be enough. When you are going to be employed, when you are going to work, you need to have something more than that. Just think of this nice metaphor that I told you. Of course, micro-credentials is not something new. We all know, for example, the IT certifications that are given, for instance, by Microsoft, Google, Cisco, all of these extra things, the additional, let's say, the add-on learning experience we acquire. And of course, this has been taking place many years now. But the difference is that, of course, because of the pandemic, and we are definitely discussing the year of skills, we see the need to recognize, to show concretely to our future employer what are these important skills and competencies that we all have. So this is very important. And of course, if we try to talk about it in a bit more scientific terms, in essence, micro-credentials are micro. This word comes from Greek. So it's these small volumes of learning and training that, of course, are an important asset. They are very valuable, let's say, for the days that we are living. What is important to understand is that when learners acquire these micro-credentials, they own them, they are portable. They can carry with them and show them to all different types of work, different sectors. They can travel in other countries, and these are an important additional certification they have. So I would definitely urge young people to go towards this pathway. Of course, formal qualifications are important, but they are not enough, because you know very well that the labor market needs are very high, and we definitely need to be aware of the different options that are given to us.
Plenty of good and useful examples there, Anastasia, and we go back to Jordana. You were nodding as Anastasia was speaking. You are still in the first year of your film studies. What are your expectations regarding your course, and how do you see your career options afterwards?
At the moment, I'm trying to not have expectations, because it's better to be open about the career path. I really want to try and focus more in the video photography and as well in the production side, so behind the scenes of all the things that you don't see in movies and filmmaking. There's a lot of people that are not mentioned that are very important in the production side, so I would like to try and see where I can go from there. But basically, yeah, I'm trying to be open about the career.
And do you think that the skills that you get from your course will be enough to give you options for the future?
Yes, I'm very grateful, because Nunu provides. So our course is not only video, so we have editing, we have production, we have the arts department, so we have a lot of things that makes us have different possibilities and options. So it's very good for us, because sometimes we go into this course or this career thinking one thing, and then basically maybe you don't go to that thing, you go to something even better. So it's good that we have this option in our course, yes.
That's great to hear, but of course improvements can always be made. And Nuno, as a school director, who do you work with to make those improvements when needed?
We work with the market. We work with the real clients. We work with the real events. We have also in the school a thing that we give a lot of value. For example, a student of video gaming needs sound for the game. Go to the class, to the student of sound, and ask, please, do the sound for my game. And that kind of link and multidisciplinarity, it's very, very important to grow together and start in the school the links for the future. Because you don't work alone. You work in team. And so you need to build that team in the school first and with the real projects. It's amazing because we have a lot of, not companies, we don't work to companies, we work to associations. Don't have money to pay for a video for Facebook or whatever, and go to our school and, okay, please do a video for my association, do a photo session for my association. These students have and build the most important thing in the school, it's not the evaluation. It's the portfolio that you build, the skills that you build. This is a very important thing. The evaluation is only a number. It means nothing. Sorry, guys, but this is true. The meaning is build the portfolio and show to the market. That's the bet. It's the best bet you can do for your future. Simple as that.
I see everyone reacting to what you just said. Jürgen, is there any comment you would like to make on that?
No, indeed. I mean, that's the beauty of vocational education and training, that you, as was said by all of the speakers, you combine theoretical learning with practical skills and you produce whatever it is. And if you produce with production, you gain skills. Yes, marks may be important in the end, and also you have to somehow credential, like Anastasia said, what has been acquired, which is part of your portfolio, what belongs in it, what is missing. But still, I think you win a job not for the marks, you win a job for your attitude and for your skills. And therefore, vocation education and training, I think, because it's put such a lot of focus on it, is in this part also better suited, I'm sure, than higher education, which is all about knowledge, which is not unimportant, I'm not saying that, but in terms of becoming employable is something that I think vocation education and training is best positioned to provide.
Can I say something? Sometimes we are a complement to the university, for example. So we are even in the beginning or in the end, mm-hmm. or even in the middle of the university. It's a compliment, but it's a vocational compliment. It's a real work.
And Angeliki was also, I think, agreeing with what you said earlier. So, Angeliki, you also work with companies in the process of the apprenticeship that you provide. How easy or difficult is it to work with them so that your students can try out a work experience during their course and then go on to find a job once they graduate?
In the context of our apprenticeship, the last years, we have managed to build a network of companies. Our companies are also in private and public sectors. But what can we see? Some companies change their equipment with new technology and demand for our students to know this technology. And there is a gap. There is a gap between our school's lamp and the new technology in companies. And how can we find solution for this? It's very difficult to replace the equipment in a school, official vocational school, or to replace or to change the vocational program. Maybe a solution will be if the company trainer to train our students with in this new technology, and then the students come back to school as feedback to bring this new technology. Or there is another solution. Maybe these also big companies can offer us a part of equipment in our school labs, and we have to change this attitude, which have some companies. They are looking for cheap worker. They can't understand that the apprenticeship is a social program. And by investing in this social program, they can prepare the future labor market with high standards, specialized workers. We need to work about this, not only the teachers, I think the institutions, and to persuade this company that by investing in apprenticeship, investing in the future of the country. There is another problem in Greece. I don't know what's happening in other countries, in Portugal maybe, but here in Greece, the labor market is not stable. It's constantly changing. And all the time, every year, all the teachers I know of my school, we have to adapt our students in this new condition. Believe me, it's difficult. We have to look every year for new workplaces for apprenticeship. And we are going and the companies closed or they can't pay for this. I want to say this, how important it is to change this this attitude. We have not here companies, but I think we can send a meaning to understand this this company that we are a network. We have to work all together.
Keeping up with technology, with changes in the labor market, yes. And adaptability is a very, very important issue that we face.
All the time they demand from us. How can prepare this? You see, these students, they have demands for work experience, new skills, but we don't have the equipment or we don't have the time for this. We must collaborate in this to fill this gap.
So to see this from another angle, Anastasia, from an expert's point of view, what do young people need to have the best chance in their learning and working lives?
Well, looking at the young people in the room, I can see faces that can already give me the answer. I would say motivation. Motivation is the most important word, motivation and engagement. Whenever you are in a specific, let's say, learning context or working context, it will not actually make any difference unless you are really giving every single best of you, if you're not really devoted in making things happen. And also seeing these wonderful videos earlier today already gave me a very positive feeling, seeing that young people are very creative and they have the means to really convey their messages using even other non-verbal, let's say, ways. But what is very important is that jobs, for example, currently in the way they are formed, and I understand the difficulties in the labor market, are not the only ones that actually are shaping learning. It's the learning itself that needs to take place. It's learning via work, through work. On an everyday basis, you only want to get better. The problem in Greece, and I would say in many other countries, is that quite often we are very much focusing on acquiring formal certifications and diplomas, as I said earlier. But this is not enough. And quite often, for instance, if we talk about the move, as our director said earlier, to the green and digital, we know, of course, that young people are digitally savvy. They are very good in advanced digital technologies, but still they face real barriers. They cannot find the best work for themselves. Even employers have difficulty in Europe to recruit young people that are working in the digital context, in the digital field. Somehow we can explain that, because the issue is that the particular types of jobs that are offered might not be the best ones to tap the young people's potential. That is why a young person should always stay alert, should be, as I said, very motivated and open enough to go and search and look to information portals, to prepare a portfolio, their CV, which now everything in the online world, they can send it online to different online job environments. So there are opportunities, there are ways, but we definitely need to be aware of that. We definitely need to move forward. And last but not least, I think the importance of, well, we use different terms at SEDEF. We call them transversal skills, key competencies, soft skills, hard skills. all of those different terms are telling us that, yes, you're educated, you're working, but you're learning a lot of things being in a team. You become more responsible. You learn to cooperate with others. You learn to adjust in different working environments. And I think, for me, the message is continue, learn. Learn in order to create your own future.
Thank you, Anastasia. Jordana, having heard what Anastasia said, does that make you more optimistic about your future after you finish your studies?
Definitely, yes. It's about what you make of yourself more than what you compare with others. Because I think more in my, not my generation, but a lot of generations, there's a lot of a comparing to one another. Don't compare. It's the worst choice you can do. Just do what you want to do, make what you want to make, and go for it. Yeah.
Go for it. Okay. So for the last word, let's hear from Jürgen. Jürgen, you've listened to all our panelists here and as CEDEFOB Executive Director, but also as a parent yourself, what do you think are the tools that young people can use to achieve a fulfilling career?
Yeah, I mean, there are many, and CEDEFOB as an institution is a bit far away from that. I have to say that because we are working for all of Europe. We're not a vocational school or anything like it, but we work on exactly these tools. So ultimately, whatever we do here in Thessaloniki is to the benefit of the European citizens, younger and older. Although these citizens cannot come to our door and say, well, help me with this or with that, we provide expertise to the European Commission, to governments and policymakers, to the social partners, so that's trade unions and employer associations, and also to practitioners like Nuno and Angeliki, who are here with us on stage today. So for example, one tool that we support by providing expertise is all around career guidance, which is a very important aspect. We heard the mindset, your own aspirations are important, but you also may sometimes need people helping you assessing what are actually your skills, your strengths, your weaknesses, what should you build on to have a successful career. So career guidance is an important tool, especially when you're starting to find the right learning path. And from our research that we conduct at CEDEFOB, we know what good career guidance looks like. We have this knowledge, we disseminate this knowledge, we share it across European member states with our partner organizations, and then it trickles down and helps those who build and operate these career guidance systems to make them better and to make them more accommodating what young people and older people need if they don't know from their heart exactly what they want to do and want to achieve. So we offer this, and then it comes down to national and regional levels. We also have projects that help on forecasting how the labor market will develop in the future. So what are the skill sets that will be required as the economies in Europe evolve? And we call this work skills intelligence. Sounds weird, but it's really looking at those factors that should also help people in deciding what career they want to pursue. And in this world of work of today, and we heard it from the other panelists, even if you're starting out now, you know already today that you cannot stop learning. You will have to adjust. You will have to pick up new work, new competencies as you go, and you will have to change your job more than once during your working life. This is a reality, I think, that everybody knows. And hence, it's very important that all of us be mindful on updating our skills continuously, on acquiring new ones, and always being on the lookout for the new opportunities that also come with change. And young people can absolutely count on us, people like CEDEFOB, to provide the framework for their professional development and the decisions that they will have to take. And we also provide the support that is needed, and in particular, thinking of more vulnerable groups of society. But also young people, and that's maybe the message, my closing message to you here in the room, you must always be adaptable, and you must be willing to make every effort to improve and to learn for what is out there. And out there is a competitive labor market. But that's great because you can take it in your own hands, like we've seen from Jordana and her wonderful team. Do your thing and you will succeed.
I think we can all take really positive messages from this discussion, especially you in the room. Thank you to all our guests, SEDEFOP Executive Director Jürgen Siebel, SEDEFOP Video Award winner Jordana Gasparino, Vocational School Directors Nunu Ribeiro and Angeliki Filipidou, and SEDEFOP Expert Anastasia Pouliou. We'll be back with more on vocation, education and training skills and qualifications. Until then, you can visit our website, sedefop.europa.eu, for the latest developments. You can also find our podcasts there and on all major podcast platforms. And you can follow us on social media. Goodbye.